everybody's online. So let's say, hey, online family, one, two, three. Hey, online family, they're so glad that you're here. And I know, Debbie, you're helping us out on that today, right? So if you get anybody that has questions, since you're here, belt them out. And I did see Anna yesterday, and she's doing great. They've got a lot of the early summer stuff going on, so that's a good thing. The hour has come from betrayal to the table of grace. Wow, have you ever thought about this table of betrayal? And he still gives his grace, his unmerited favor along the way in speaking about Jesus. Now, the last time we gathered, we talked about the widow's mite, and she had the equivalent of two hay pennies or two half pennies. Actually, it's more like a quarter penny. So it would be the total money that she had. You need to understand her life's total, we'll just keep it in pennies for the moment, was basically two pennies. And when she put those two pennies in the offering plate, she had nothing left in her coin purse. Clear out your savings account. Clear out everything you own except the beans on your shelf. And everything that you have in your bank account would go into that plate. Nothing left. Trusting of the Lord in these matters. And Jesus, is he still teaching? And he just came off of being railed by these other guys trying to trip him up. He comes into the sanctuary and he sees all the people of wealth. And that would be every one of us in this room, believe it or not. Of wealth. And they would go clink, clink. And they gave a portion of their amount. But he said, look at her. And he was teaching the disciples, she gave it all. Sometimes you may think, you know, I've only got 50 cents to give. And that represents everything I have. Do you understand the Lord sees that as such? You know, he sees that as such. He sees that as a great gift to him because the heart is attuned to that. You know, today I was out pulling weeds before we started. And I found a shiny nickel. You know what I'm going to do with that?
Put it in your piggy bank?
Nope. It goes back in the box. Everything we find here goes in there. Every now and then you'll see us glue a quarter to the floor. We do that to see if you're watching. Right? Just want to stock that dadgum, Dave. It was Jeremiah. Two coins. You know, that really reminds me of the Lord wants our heart to not be grabby. He doesn't want us to have that Spider-Man sticky hands on the glass, you know. Obviously, Spider-Man's a character, and if he doesn't have the sticky hands, he slides off. But let me tell you something, you won't, because you've got the Lord there. This isn't necessarily a tithe message, but we never back away from it when it's in Scripture. But if your giving is paltry, you need to take that before the Lord. The church is not broke. I'm talking about Christendom. Our Father not only owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, he owns the grasses, he owns the soil, he designed it all to work. You know, I don't know if you noticed, but we got quite a bit of snow on those hills. You know, I got up and I was like, Lord, I'm so sorry. I haven't been praying for the snow and the weather. I'm praying for two more snows. I know it's going to be 80 this week. I'm like, Lord, please, just two more good-sized snows that should get us through. You know, watch what you do with your water. You guys get a hot shower today or last night? Anybody? How'd it feel to have a nice hot shower?
Amazing.
Did you tell the Lord thank you for that shower?
Yes.
No, don't answer.
Oh.
That's okay, you did. Make sure that you thank the Lord for that shower. Did your toothbrush work today, or did your finger work if you didn't have one? You know, military toothbrush, you've got your fingerprint, right? And if you don't have one, you put a little toothpaste on there, and that's your, you know, in the field work. And did you thank him for that toothbrush? You know, you don't need to do that big swirly do like they show you on the Ultra Bright commercials. About the size of a pea is all you need, believe it or not. They just do that to sell you more toothpaste. It's overkill. I learned that from Dr. Oz. He said, why are you putting all that toothpaste on there? You only need a pea size. It's plenty enough. And man, I've cut my toothpaste cost by 75%, I'll tell you now. See, when you start looking at, well, I was talking with brother out here today, talking about how we watch the little things like our coffee. You may know our coffee may look weak to you. We do 3 levels of scoops on it. We don't do humping scoops. We don't do 5 or 6. Why do we do 3 level? Because in 17 years, we saved enough on coffee to cover 2 VBS cycles. That doesn't sound like a lot, but when you start looking at that with lights and electricity and usage, and hey, we've had some areas where we've blown it. I've made some decisions that haven't been as great that I thought it would turn out better than it did, and it did not. It's okay. You know, we make up for it however we make up for it. But when you watch these things at your own home, your tithing is not hard on you. It's just watching what you're doing at home and all the other stuff. Does that make sense? Is this dinging on your head or hurting your heart? Is it hurting your wallet a little bit, your debit card? Make sure that you put first things first. The only place that God will allow you to test him, the only place is in Malachi 3, about mid-chapter, circa 6, 8, right in there. He says, how will a man rob God? And we can think of 100 ways, but he said in tithes and offerings. Tithes are your duty at 10%. Offerings are above and beyond. Right? In tithes and offerings, he says, try me in this. Put me to the test that you can give and your barns will be so full that it will not be able to contain the grain that I'm going to give you. Extrapolate that into modernity. Your accounts will, I will tell you, when we put that in practice, we see the results of that. He does not want you to be grabby with the coins. He talks about coins 2,000 times of the money, how it gets a grab. He only talks about love around 700 times. We love everything. We'll love a puppy dog. You know, we'll love a cow. I like them on my plate, medium rare, thank you. And I put butter on it trying to get the cow back into it, you know. Watch your P's and Q's. Watch how you spend your money. Start getting to the point where you can tithe. Maybe you're tithing $20 a week. Try 21. Try 25. Maybe you're doing $50 a week. Try 75. But ask the Lord what he wants you. Don't go by my numbers. Never go by what I tell you. I'm giving you examples of things. You need to ask of the Lord what he wants you to give. You may say $760.23. You need to listen to what he's telling you to do. We always encourage you to listen to the Holy Spirit, and he'll take care of your moments. I'd rather see you drop five bucks in the bucket once a month and be faithful in that because you're faithful to him. I don't care about your $5. Don't take that wrongly. I never know who gives what. There's only a select few in this room that gets to know that, and I am not one of them. Our software keeps me from seeing it, and that's the way I like it. I don't want to know who gives what. Yeah, I don't want to be preaching to that. I don't want to be preaching to the absence of that. I like to treat people neutrally. If you hand me a check with money in it, I'll have you give it to somebody else because I take nothing from anybody. One time that happened. And the guy snuck up on me with it. So I said, okay, thank you. You know, put it in my pocket, and I turned away and gave it away. You know, I don't want to know. It's important that I don't know. Does that make sense to you? Now, I do know what the numbers are in the macro sense, but I don't know how they got there. And I'll tell you, I love to see when the surprises happen. But the biggest surprise is how he'll take control of your desires and turn them into his reward. And if you're not doing that, you're missing out. Maybe you don't need that app. You're paying $14 for that app. That could have been a tithe money. You see what I'm saying? And you guys like worshiping with the music, yes or no? Do you like worshiping in fellowship with one another? Do you like, some of you like doing the work of the Lord or maybe praying or listening to the word? Do you understand tithing is equal turf? Equal turf. You want to know how to clear out a church? Teach on Job or call a prayer night. That's pretty crazy. You call for prayer, people scatter like cockroaches when the lights go on. That's a sad thing to say, but it's the truth. You know, when we have a high and holy night of worship and prayer, that's the night you want to be here because God's got the hearts are sensitive and dialed into listening to what he's got. I'll tell you, that group that meets on first and third, they get some of the blessing of it, but the high and holy stuff, man, those are great times. So remind me, we're going to do one of those soon. Won't be this Thursday. We got cleaning up to do. We got to outshine Mandy on our cleanup. So widow's mites, she gave everything she had. And she trusted God with the rest. We're going to learn about a fellow here in a bit that was very much the same way. We heard the clear call to watch, endure, and stay ready because the King is coming back. When? IDK. I have no idea. I don't care. We're going to keep our eyes in the clouds. What are you going to do at night? I'm expecting the Holy Spirit to wake me up. That's just it. Hopefully it's not cold so I can run without a coat. We're going to look at the final days of the Holy Week. We're looking at some of the final days of Jesus' ministry. Soon we'll be out of this book of Luke, and we'll be on to next chapters of some of the Old Testament minor prophets. So, Monday, he cursed a fig tree. Tuesday, they came back out, and the fig tree was already unblessed, if you will, because the fruit didn't grow. Wednesday is Spy Wednesday. This is Holy Week. You know, you had Palm Sunday, which is the first. And, of course, the Latin mandatum, which means commandment, we get the term M-A-U-N-D-Y, Thursday. It's our mandate Thursday. It's our commandment of what we're to do, and we're going to look at some of that today. Some questions. Did we get handouts already done?
Yes.
Thank you much. Anybody need a handout? Everybody get one? Yes. Going once, twice? Sold. Some of these will go align with us. Some of them will be generalities. It's predominantly designed for you this week to take whatever you heard this week, and every day you've got a little bit of something to go through, to maybe go back through Scripture and let the Lord reflect on some things for you in that regard. Opening question on the first one, it says, when you think about betrayal, what part hurts most? When you think about somebody lying to you or betraying you, what hurts most? The secrecy? The closeness of the person? The loss of trust? There could be other things. You can jot it down as you see fitting. The second question, why do you think Jesus chose the Passover moment, this very night of his betrayal, to reveal the meaning of his death? And, of course, it's in the title, the last word, Grace, name of my dog, Gracie. What does it mean that to you that Jesus remained steady and full of love, even while betrayal was already in motion around him? Isn't that something? Is it easy for you to be graceful when there's treachery abound? It's just not. That's why we got to dial in so close to him. One of the ways that we dial in close to him is prayer. One of the ways we dial into him is listening to Holy Spirit. One of the ways we dial into him is listening to the words that were scribed. There's all sorts of calamity in all stages, and we get to see the humanity of weakness and strength because of the Lord. I love his words. I'm absolutely thankful that he's given us enough to thrive on. You know, I was reading in the Word this morning. I've been taking these pills from my head and whatnot, and Mary keeps saying, take more, you need a better head. No. But they got me a little awake at night, so they're ramping me up more than I would prefer. And so I've been in the Word considerably, and I get very tearful, you know, because the Lord is just working things. I just iron me out, man, steaming my iron, however, and I'm thankful for it. You can start to feel a shift where we're going. Jesus is going from this finished teaching about the end times for that 70 AD, the final scraping off of the temple where they took all the rock and they pulled the gold out from in between, the Roman soldiers did. And then he talked about the end times to come. So there was a duality that he spoke in last week. And we're in the middle of it, and he sits down with the disciples for this final Passover meal, this final cup that's passing over. It's a deep meaning. We're pivoting from the darkness to the covenant love, where the betrayal begins and the grace is the exclamation point. So, Father, we just thank you. Thank you. You face betrayal with love and turn the table into the place of grace. Help us remember every time we come to your table, we carry that sense of grace. In your name, everybody said, amen. First theme is the week leading to the table, Holy Week in Focus. We had Fig Monday. I don't know if we have this screenshot. We may or may not. Mark 11:12-14. But Jesus cursed the fig tree that looked good but had no fruit. It's a bit of a metaphor that, man, from a distance, I can see the leaves and they're just beautiful. And he got up there and there was no fruit on that tree. Well, why would God grow something like that and then kill it off? Because it didn't bear fruit, and it was an example for us. You know, if a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. But apart from me, he can do nothing. You stay close to the vine. Dad's the vine dresser, and he says he'll prune away things that don't bear fruit. And he also prune things from your life that aren't bearing fruit so that that energy goes to the better fruit that's in you. Sometimes you're going through a pruning and you're going, why is this happening? Why am I going through hard times? Because he's getting rid of the dross and debris that's already in you so that more of him can flow through and do the work he wants to do through you. You understand, we're in concert with him. I love how Thursday night Pastor Brent was bringing up about an orchestra, because I used to be an orchestra, and it was just this chaos ahead of time. Everybody's, all the winds are doing their thing, and the strings and the timpani is back there getting their sound in. But as soon as the director comes up and touches his baton on the thing, and he'll go like this, everything shuts down. All eyes are on that conductor. And we are in concert with our conductor. You understand? In this case, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is there to give directive from God's voice to your ears. That's how you get it. Fig Monday, he saw no fruit and cursed that fruit, that fruitless tree. And then on the next one is what I call dried up Fig Tuesday, Mark 11:20-21. Jesus used it because it had nothing on there. But the next day they walked by it again. There's a dead tree there within a day, right? Jesus used it to teach that outward religion without true fruit will be judged. Isn't that wild? He wants you to bear fruit in the way he's wired you to bear it. Some of you bear it in prayer. Some of you bear it in action. Some of you are good financially. Some are you good administratively. You have gifts that are there. I kind of follow how Tom Stipe used to teach us. I like that he says he gives you a gift blend. There's times that I am not the encourager. There's times that I am focused on the future that's coming down the way. There's times that I am quieted and I'm more methodical in prayer or quieted of soul. And he gives those different blendings. And I'm okay with it. Hey, there's some things that it'll say some are encouragers, some are meant to be pastors and teachers and all the above. Look, if you're called, Peter lets you know very clearly, always be ready with an answer for the faith that you have. Always be ready. Why is Jesus your all in all? I don't know. You know, poor stuttering Porky, right? Don't be that. Know why you are. Ask the Lord. That's why these things, you have these handouts. Ask of the Lord, why, Lord, have you wired me the way that you have wired me? What gift is sitting on the bench that I'm not using? Lord, okay, this is stuff I am skilled at. I can do this hands down, no problem. Give me an area that's foreign to me. Increase my tool belt. Have you ever noticed the military or the police or fire? They have a whole bunch of different things on their tool belts. You know, when I was a cable guy, I remember Dina Lopez came out, and the gals from the office would come out and follow us on a job, and she says, "Do you realize that you grab tools and put them away and don't even know what, you don't even look at them?" Because you get to the point of unconscious competence. You don't have to think about where it is. You're just in that competency level. Well, you guys have some unconscious competencies, but you also have conscious incompetency, meaning that you're quite aware of what you don't know how to do, right? I can do finances, but I'd prefer not. For me, that's like walking in a room when nobody brushed their teeth. I just want to run out, right? Okay, something like that. Yeah, and then that Spy Wednesday, that's when Judas got in there with the secret plan. You know the 30 coins? You heard about the 30 coins where you got paid the 30 coins? I've taught it as 30 ounces. I've been wrong on that. It's between 12 and 15 ounces. He sold the Savior that he saw the miracles happen for around today's money now, $900. I wished I'd have brought 909 single bills in here to show you. That's the cost of, from Judas' eyes, with Satan in him. That's the cost of Christ's life. Also, to let you know, to offer 30 coins for something of value, it is the worst way to convey your kindness for that individual. It is a smack in the face to do for 30 coins. It's a horrid thing, absolutely horrid. Would you trade, and I want you to think of 9 $100 bills laid out in front of you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Would you trade your relationship? Careful. Would you trade your relationship? I wouldn't do it for 900. Okay, well, how about 9 million? I want you to think about that. A pallet of money. It's a pallet of money you will never need in this life again. Your bills will be gone. You can buy a house. You can own it. You can outfit it. You can buy tater tots every day of your life. Would you trade 9 million? Okay, try 90 million or 900 million or 9 billion. Because I'll tell you, wherever that number lands, that's what you can be bought for. And I'll tell you right now, wave what you want. It ain't worth it. I'd love to have $9 billion. You know what I'd do with it? Blow every dadgum penny of it, because that's what we do. The more we get, the more we blow, right? No, I don't want it. There's no worth. Listen, it's short term. Money is so attractive. Ease is really what it boils down to. Ease of getting in a car and driving wherever we want, as opposed to shoe leather. It's so attractive, ease. And suffering is a hard thing for us to hear and have to go through. I've got in my tribe, I've got people that have problems with suffering. They don't understand how a blessing comes out of suffering. Have you guys ever suffered anything or suffering something now? Do you see God's blessing in it at all? Do you see the refinement that comes from it? I want my family, the tribe, I want the children in my life to have to suffer. Don't you want them to be better off than you? No, not if they get it for ease. Because if they got it for ease, they'll get it for nothing. If they get it for nothing, they won't understand it. If they don't understand it, they won't know sacrifice. If they don't know sacrifice, they won't understand humility. And if they don't understand humility, how can they kneel before the Lord unless caused to kneel? Do I want them to have good things in their life? Yes, but I want you to suffer to get there. You've got to learn it. The Jews don't give their kids money. They teach them how to use it. You should too. Grandkids, kids, neighbor kids, make them work for it. My mom gave us a couple of pair of shoes, a couple of pair of jeans, three or four shirts, whatever that was. And if we wanted anything else, we had to. We ate what was in the family. And Mom says, this ain't no diner. I know you like Salisbury steak. No, Mom, I do not like your Salisbury steak. And I definitely don't like canned peas. No, ma'am. No, sir. Not at all. If you like them, you can have whatever's on my shelf. $900 for him. In Luke 22:1-6, the festival of unleavened bread, which is also called Passover, was approaching. The leading priests and teachers of the religious law, listen, were plotting to kill Jesus. You know why? But they were afraid of the people's reaction. Why? Because it shifted. They started loving Christ. And they were the guys that were supposed to be the purveyors of truth. Yeah, and you missed it, guys. And now you want to kill him off because you're on a power trip. You're losing your monies. You're losing your control. Do you ever notice that you're not really controlled here? There's expectations on you if you're a leader here. There's definitely expectations, but you're not controlled. We allow people to make mistakes. We allow people to be loose fit. We hold people very lightly in our hands because they're gods. Some people may want more structure than we offer. I'm sorry, I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's structure enough. You worship him in song. You worship him in word and deed. Everything else will get taken care of. Then Satan entered Judas Iscariot. Why did God allow that to happen? Because it was the way it's going to happen. God sees time in past, present, and future as one timeline. He doesn't see time like we do. We had to have the structure of the yom. Say yom. Y-O-U-Y-O-M. Yom. Say it again. It is a period of time marked by boundaries. A yom could be a day or it could be a long period of time. So when the earth was formed, it was formed night from the day, creating day one. It's a yom. That is the period of time. Creation is a six-day event. Period. Yom. Yom, yom. That's a whole other thing. That's for the food we had last night at the graduation thing. Satan entered Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples. Do you understand that he saw everything that happened? But you know, you could be sitting in a pew right now. You'd be sitting in a chair right now and be a part of everything that happens and not be with Jesus. It can just happen. I remember when we were at Holy Cross Catholic Church, I was leading Mary Lou to the Lord that night and didn't realize I was until I was in there. She says, are you meaning to tell me that they're that the sweet little lady with her little tattoo on her hand and some of these other people that God will just kill them? I say, he won't kill them, but he'll allow them freedom to have spiritual death. And by the way, in Tom Stipe's church, I said, I'm sure there's a few of them there as well. I said, this is an individual thing. And that was a big concern for her, and it should have been, because we think of things in a just fashion, right? But not just us. It's justice, and it belongs to him. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay, and he will always be righteous. And his repayment is always with the hope and desire of fulfillment of the person coming back into concert with the Lord. Don't give up on the people you're frustrated with. God's working. You may live your whole life and never see him come to know the Lord. And 5 years after you're gone, boop, there they are. I talked about my nephew. He went early. He went to the leading priests and the captains of the temple guard to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. Do you understand what happens when the enemy gets you? You understand his, quote, small case, love language is hatred, deception, lies, conniving. Do you feel sorry for Satan? Nope. You had your shot, pal. You're down the road. The only shot you got is forever locked up, ring of fire, whatever you want to call it. They were delighted. This is the ones that should have known better. They were delighted in verse 5 and promised to give him money. Promised. So Judas agreed and began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus so they could arrest Jesus, him, when the crowds weren't around. So get him a part of the way from the ones that love him. Get him off to himself. I'm going to peck on his cheek, and you're going to take him and wipe him out. And you know, there was a little off teaching here, but when they first came after him and they said, are you Jesus? And he said, I am. It wasn't like some of the shows call maybe 15 or 20 people. It was like 1,000. And when he said, I am, and they fell over, the Holy Spirit pressed them down. It wasn't even enough that they got back up. And, of course, Peter cuts off Malchus' ear, which is the secondhand guy to Caiaphas, which is the high priest. And Jesus puts it back on. I love how Mel Gibson's portrayal of that guy going, and he puts the ear back up, and he's kind of watching him. And he puts the ear on, and it just comes back together. We have a miraculous God. He can do healing however he sees it. They wanted him removed, but they must do it quietly because the people loved him, not them. Do you know what that's called? Jealousy. Now, when we have the word jealousy, we say our God is a jealous God. You need to understand that word means desirous of a relationship with you. It doesn't mean petty jealousy that I want more of what she has than she has, or he has than he has. That is a wicked, I was going to say bastardized, so we're not. Anyway, that's a fatherless comment is what that is. That is not a comment that comes from somebody of a genuine heart. He is desirous of relationship. They were desirous of the plaudits of men. That means the applause and glad handing. Have you ever noticed that there's not a lot of applause after the music's done? Do you know, it doesn't bother me if you do or don't do that, but I love that it isn't done. And let me tell you why. And one of the things I taught with Brent and Molly and then Autumn when she kind of came up is that if you don't get applause, that's a good thing. If you do get applause, you turn that right back to the Lord. If somebody said, man, I love what you did with your vocals or your guitar riff, always say thank you. It's not, well, it's all God. That's false humility. Always say thank you. If somebody compliments you on something, say thank you. They're being graceful, giving a compliment that does belong to God, but you don't have to tell them that. Did you enjoy, what are those things you made the other day on the stick? Pancake pops. You go, man, I love those pancake pops. She goes, thank you. You know, what she would be taught to do is say, thank you. I love when God gives us opportunities to do stuff, don't you? You're still putting God in there, but just say thank you. Don't say yep. Don't say, of course. Say you're welcome. It's just so genuine. I went to Wendy's the other day, and I said, thank you on my order, and the person said, you're welcome. And I was going, that person had somebody in their life that matured them properly with the language that we have. Jealousy they had. Satan is working behind this betrayal. He doesn't want any compliments there. Look at this in Psalm 41:9, I believe I have it. Even my close friend, the one I trusted, the one who shared my food, has turned against me. We already see that back in Psalm where it's written. And in Zechariah, it says in 11, verse 12 through 13, I said, if you like, give me 30 pieces of silver for my work. So they waited out to pay my 30 pieces of silver. And the Lord said to me, throw it to the potter. This is the magnificent price at which they valued me. That is not a positive thing. So I took the 30 coins and I threw them to the potter in the temple of the Lord. You need to understand that is a disgusting price. That's $900 in our money for a servant. There was this guy, 4th century, I believe, Onesiphorus, and he went as a monk into the desert to live an ascetic life. An Essene is somebody that would do a lot of fasting. I think Martin Luther, the original, would whip his back with chain or leather because he felt so horrible about himself. And he stopped that when he read Romans 1, 16 and 17, where he found out it's the faith, not the disciplines like that. Well, this Onesiphorus lived 70 years in the desert, and he only took from whatever he could. He was either thirsty, he was very skinny. 70 years is a long time. It's like 25,600 days. And did you know every week that it was of his writing, every week communion would come to him on Sunday, and an angel gave it to him. How do we know? Because there was this guy named Epaphroditus that went out to the desert as well, but he wanted to go find out who these desert people, and he ran into Onesiphorus, and he got him on his last day of living. 70 years. 365.25, you divide that out to find out how many communions he had. He had 3,652. I thought that was captivating to know that there's 365.25 days in a year, and he had that kind of numeric equivalent in communion that God gave him. And he spoke for only one day. The second guy came out, and he walked with him for the day. The day came to an end, and he told him all the things that he had known. In 70 years, he had not talked to anybody but this one fella. And he told him in a day and then the half. And the guy died the next morning. That potter's field this day is Akeldama. It's in the Hainan Valley on the south corner of the old city. And that's where this potter's field is. They put this Onesiphorus name on there as a dedication to his silence before the Lord. I looked at him and I was going, wow, you look at all these guys putting trinkets in the pot, or the woman with her minimal. And then you look at even a John the Baptist, and this guy is even removed from that still. You know, well, what does his life mean? Well, I don't know, but when this other fella, he went and took the notes down, and a lot of these guys that live this life of a monk have all learned from this one man that never spoke to anybody. Very much a Jeremiah life. Lived his whole life and nobody ever converted. Nobody. This guy very much lived a life like that. But I think what's really cool is that one of the things of his stories that survives is this Eucharist that comes every week for him by way of angel. God's taking care. He takes care of his people. I had somebody the other day say, why do you pray for the weather? Wasn't that more for Old Testament times? Are you kidding me? Is your faith that small that you relegate it to the OT? Dude, I'm Acts 29 guy. It only goes to 28. You know that, right? We are the Acts 29 church. We're the next chapter. It's just a very long thousands of years chapter. And I'll tell you something. I have seen the miraculous through the weather. I have seen people get healed. I prayed over people that died. You know, they did get healed with the Lord forever. But I will tell you something. When somebody tells me, are you serious? That's just an Old Testament equation for a different time. You got way too much TV in your life. You don't have enough of him. Because I'll tell you something. He does stuff, and it's super cool stuff. And as more we're dialed into him, the more we get to see it. Judas didn't lose contact with Jesus before he lost Jesus in his heart. Pretty wild, huh? The enemy is always looking for an opening through greed and unbelief and unresolved sin. If you have unresolved sin, get that business done. We're going to be doing communion here in a minute, not yet. And I want you to, first of all, get in the habit of thanking him before you take the bread. I want you to get into the habit of thanking him before you take the cup. Every single time, at home, away, whenever you eat. Remember we were saying, did you thank God for the towel, for the hot shower, the soap, or if you shave your face or not, shave your legs or whatever? Did you thank him for the razor? Get in the moments of thanking him for the littlest of things. Lord, thank you for this nickel. How much is this nickel worth? It ain't a nickel. Takes about 7 cents to make it.
Every penny.
Every penny it's worth, right? That's funny. Listen, betrayal often begins with small compromises that grow into full rebellion. Betrayal often begins with small compromises that grow into full rebellion. I want to repeat that. Betrayal often begins with small compromises. I'll bend a little here, I'll bend a little there, that grow into full-on rebellion. Tell me that you've had the opportunity to read your word, and we've all done it, and you've gotten away from it, and then you all of a sudden drift, and you're going, what happened? What happened? I got to get back to the basics. Whoever said it was okay to get away from them? Little betrayals happen. Little chipping away of who you are as a beautiful saint, and you guys are beautiful. Each and every one of you have this massive beauty that beams from the inside out. And by the way, we see that beauty. We also see it when it's not there.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we also see it when it's not there. And you know what happens then? We kick you out. No. We go deeper in and we pray and we're like, Lord, let's get them through it. Get them through it. Let them learn. If it's a hard lesson, let them learn that hard lesson. Father, that hard lesson will stick. That's the suffering. And most of the suffering comes at our own cost. In Luke 22:7-23, now the day of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lamb was sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go prepare the Passover meal for us so we can eat it together. Where do you want us to prepare it? He asked. He replied, As you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. What makes that so unusual? Women were the only ones that carried water. Ladies, y'all were strong. You weren't just black wrought iron skillet strong. You were clay pot strong. Water weighs 8.33 pounds a gallon. One of those things would weigh up, take about 4 gallons plus the weight of that pot. Y'all were strong, but to have a man carrying it, that would have been an unusual thing. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. And by the way, I think season 5 of Chosen shows this scene over a 2-session period. I think they did it festively, so I appreciated it. He will take you upstairs to a room that's already set up, that is where you should prepare our meal. This is what Jesus is telling that vision as he is, right? 13, so he went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover meal there. Can you trust Jesus when he gives you stuff to do? Yes, no. Yes. Stay the course with that. Don't bend. 14 verse. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table, and Jesus said, I have been, listen to this, very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. You know why? Because the suffering happens as soon as that meal's over. This is the mandate. Mandatum in Latin. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup of wine and what? And gave thanks to it. That's where our thank you, Lord, for the food. You ever notice that dogs never say a prayer before they eat? Mary Lou will feed the dogs and then she says a prayer with them and they kind of stop before they go in to eat. That's a trained thing, obviously. But hey, dogs are spelled backwards, you know, whatever. They think we are that, gods. He says, take this and share it among yourself. So he blessed it and he handed out. When you receive it, take it and tell God thank you. I want you to get back in the habit of being thankful for every little moment of your life. If you got an uncut blade of grass in your yard, Lord, thank you. I can see what a full blade looks like uncut. For I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God have come. And he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Right? So the wine was the first, the bread was the second. And he took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. That's what you're going to do, is take that bread and take that cup and tell the Lord thank you. Do business right now with him. Stuff you got in your head and your heart, just start getting it flushed out and get communion going on. You're out of communion with the Lord in this. And this is what he says. He says, do this in remembrance of me as often as you gather. Well, if you're at home by yourself and it's just you and the Holy Spirit, you have gathered. You know, if you have a corn chip and a orange juice, I don't know. He's not looking for exactness. Just make it happen, Captain. If all you got's a tortilla, that's what you got. If you're fasting, you have a thought of it, then you have a thought. And then he broke it into pieces, saying to Seb, this is my body, which is what? Given for you. He gave his life for you. Do you understand? Do you understand, little mister? He gave his life for that little fella. Look at that. And now he sees his mom and his other mom that calls him Pablo. Is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the what? New covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for who? You. Say me. Me. Put your hand to your heart. Say, he did it for me. For me.
For precious children.
He did it for me. I love that. I love making it personal because it's a relationship with him. But here at this table, sitting among us is a man who will is a promise, betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man, what? Must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him? Do you see the saddening he has for Judas? Even that he has gone down this road into this level of betrayal? The disciples began to ask each other which of them would ever do such a thing. The heart of Maundy Thursday is he is reinterpreting Passover around himself. The lamb, the bread, the cup, the covenant all points to his coming death and redemption. It will accomplish, and it's already been accomplished for us. Luke emphasizes that Jesus is eager for this meal. He is not dragged to the cross. He is walking knowingly toward it for you, for me. Why do I drag this down? I'm a military guy. I understand sacrifice. Military wives understand sacrifice. You do this for the benefit of the others. You pull your debit card out and you put somebody else's name on it at your payment. I see that in this. Greater though. Even the betrayer at the table, Jesus establishes a remembrance, a covenant in meaning. Watch this. Here's the covenant. John 13:34-35. Do you see it up here? Read it with me. Let's together. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Stop right there. What do we have? A new commandment, a new mandate. Say it. What does the first three letters say? Love each other. And what does the just mean? Just, in other words, alike, that I have loved you. So that's your premise for love. Your premise for love is not how you love. It's how he loved you expressed through your fingerprints. You should love each other. Your love for one another will, there's that promise. See, will or shall is always a promise. Your love for one another will prove to who? They're watching. That you are many are my disciples. Let me just freeze that if you could. Let me tell you something, people. This is what the world sees. If they see ugly Christians, shame on Christians. They need to see Jesus people. Now you understand why I say Jesus people. This is what Jesus people do. This hen scratching and dog barking and biting and boxing with other churches, knock that off. Just knock it off. I don't care what the churches do down the street. I'm not in competition with them. I'm in competition with that green liquor store and that weed shop down the road and the pornography that's on the thing and the one that causes men and women to separate. I'm in competition with that, you see. I'm in competition with the ills of life. I want to see them get on the good foot so they can also read with me. I'm giving you a new covenant. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love is your display card. It's your calling card. It's your business card. It's your emoji. Not a heart. The love expressed. Don't put the heart on there if you're not going to love. Is it easy to love? Yes or no?
No.
And yes. No, it's not when you do it on your terms. Yes, it is when you do it on his terms. You don't worry about the outcome. You focus on the income. It's a value proposition. When you love, you're storing treasures in heaven. Do you understand? That's John 13, 34 through 35. You should have that circled or written down somewhere. Can we go ahead and give out communion, please? I'm going to read to you from Exodus. It's a long read, so it's going to be a bit. Exodus 12, 1 through 14. It'll be on the screen. While the Israelites were still in the land of Egypt, the Lord gave the following instructions to Moses and Aaron. From now on, this month will be the first month of the year. Debbie, if you can help out. The first month of the year. Announced to the whole community of Israel that the 10th day of this month, each family must choose a lamb for Passover sacrifice. Can somebody take over for him so he can put screen words on the board? Somebody just grab it. Daniela's going to help. Thank you, Daniela. And I'm on verse 3. Announce the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day, and don't take it yet, don't eat it yet, of the month, family must choose a lamb for a Passover sacrifice. Verse 4, if a family is too small to eat the whole lamb, it should share one of its closest neighbor with that lamb. Divide the lamb according to the size of each family. The animal you select must be 1 year old male, either a sheep or a goat with no defects. Take special care of the lamb until the evening of the 14th day of the first month. Then the whole assembly of the community of Israel must slaughter their lambs at twilight. In verse 7, they are to take some blood and smear it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the Passover meal. That same night they must roast the meat over a fire and eat it along with bitter salad greens, bread made without yeast. Do not eat any of the meat raw or boiled in water. The whole lamb must be roasted over. It's got to be BBQ. Including the head, the legs, and the internal organs. Do not leave any of it until morning. Burn whatever is not eaten before morning. And these are your instructions for eating this meal. Be fully dressed. Wear your sandals. Carry your walking stick in your hand. Eat the meal with urgency, for this is the Lord's Passover. On that night, I will pass through the land of Egypt, thank you, and strike down every firstborn son and the male animal in the land of Egypt. I will execute judgment against all of the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign to mark the houses where you are. I will see the blood. I will pass over you. He will see the Jesus on you, and he'll pass over you in judgment the same. in verse 14, this is a day to remember. Each year, from generation to generation, you must celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is for a law for all time. Now in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, the day is coming, says the Lord, I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors. When I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, they broke that covenant, though I loved them as a husband loves his wife. You understand, bride? Says the Lord. In verse 33, but this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them. I will write it on their hearts. You heard that song? It's branded on my soul. B-I-B-L-E. It's that kind of thing. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, or they will need to teach their relatives, saying, you know, you should know the Lord, for everyone from the least to the greatest will already know me, says the Lord. And I will forgive their sins and their wickedness, and I will never remember again their sins. Do you understand? When he forgives your sins, he does it. Stop holding on to that crap. Because when you hold on to that, you're treating it as such. And you're disregarding the promises of the Lord. Act like you've been forgiven. And don't go back into the vomit that's already been puked from the dog. In 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke the pieces and said, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup of wine saying, this is the new covenant. But in the same way, he thanked him. Given to you. This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by the blood, with the blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. You're announcing his life. Does that make sense? That's what this is all about. That's what this is about. Passover was the memorial of deliverance from Egypt, and Jesus now places his own death at the center of said deliverance. The bread and cup are not empty symbols. They point to his body and blood given to his people. The new covenant replaces the old system of sacrifices, replaced with grace through Jesus' blood and righteousness. And Jesus gave the table its meaning long before the cross, long before the cross. This is the mandate. This is the table. This is the table that you eat from at home and away, here and elsewhere. There is never closed communion at this location, ever. We've had people from different sects within Christianity, could be Greek Orthodox, and they won't come up and have communion because they only have it with their church. He didn't put confines on communion. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Thank him. Do this in remembrance of me. He didn't say only flip-flop pastors can take communion. No. We ask the people, don't serve us first. Serve us last. You understand why? The shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd takes care of the sheep. The shepherd eats last. We follow his motion. In my house, the men eat last. Period. He was in control of this the whole time. It never changed. Not once. We're going to break bread, he and I, in a minute. But I want you to clear your mind of the things that you have done against God. Clean the slate. The things you're currently choosing to do against him. Clean the slate. Don't look at me. You talk to him, but to him, not me. Close your eyes if you need to. Shut your heart. And if the baby is up, don't worry about it. The baby is just doing the baby. We suffer the children, just like he suffers you. Go before him. Any hatred you've had for your situation, somebody in your life, somebody that's not treating others well, things that you're doing to exasperate a child or an adult. Maybe you've been a jerk at work or a jerk at home. Knock it off. Take it before the Lord. Now that that's been done, if it has, I want you to take that bread and I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body for mine. We won't move until you're ready. Thank you, Jesus. Do not shy away from this communion time. Don't shy away from it. God has set this time aside for you right now to dial into communion with him again, if not for a first time. Thank you, Jesus. Take the bread. Make sure you say thank you. Now with the cup, he did the same thing. His blood scourged beyond human recognition, blood dripping down to the ground where we take things to the foot of the cross, where his cleansing blood cleanses us of our sins. Now this juice doesn't cleanse the sins. It reminds us of the ones who did. There is not some transformative thing that when you take it, you get transformed. It's not that. He said, do this in remembrance. He didn't say, don't forget me. He said, remember me. He chose you. The value was set on that cross. It was set. Your value for eternity's sake was set by what you're experiencing here today, remembering back 2,000 years through whatever modality we have to understand the scourgings that took place in mass. The only difference was this was for your life. So you take that cup and you say, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And drink this cup. You can hand your cups to each other and stack them and somebody gather them. Listen, listen, listen. Don't get all lost on this. He condemned a fig tree for not having fruit. It came back and it was gone. It was demolished on day two. Day three was Spy Wednesday when the deceptions happened. This is Mandate Thursday. You know what happens after this? They take him by the shade of dark right after this. He goes and prays thrice and he's out. Peter cuts off the ear of Malchus. These thousands of men come to get him. I am. They fall down. They punch him. They beat him. They spat on him. They took that crown of thorns, smashed it into his head, treated him like a clown. Like a clown. And yet he loved you still. Listen. 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 Do not turn from him. You're not that smart. And you're not that stupid. And you're all the better stuff in between. You're smart. You're wise. Act like it. You're a child of God. Act like it. You're Jesus people. Act like it. Enough with this, man, I want to cuss. Disgusting living. I'm sorry, but this is a heart that is embittered to the bitterness of disgust before the Lord. Forgive me if that hurt you to hear me say that I wanted to cuss then. But But I get just as disgusted of my shortcomings as you do yours. The prayer is this, Lord, break our hearts for what breaks yours. Make us ready for your coming. So you have your sheets. I want to encourage you this week to rededicate this time to him. Go back through and read. Go back through and read the chapters. Read them together, separately. If you need an extra copy, we'll make you one. It matters me not. What matters is that you put into this reflective time your homework. Where is the betrayal or compromise getting a foothold in your heart? You just cleansed it. Don't let it come back in. Listen, don't let it come back in. Practice this week. Come to the Lord's table and remember it. Every day. I want you to encourage you. You got, I don't care if it's mushroom coffee or a bottle of water and a tortilla. You remember him in these ways. He'll honor it. He'll honor it. I want you to share with someone the story of the Passover meal and how Jesus gave it new meaning. Before, it had all these works involved. And Jeremiah said, I give you a new covenant. I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to give you a whole new way of operating. And guys, we've been having this experience of operation for about 1900 plus years. You know, I know it's 2026, but he was 33. So there's a little time gap there. We have been the benefactors of freedom. And in this country, we have been given amazing freedom. Please do not squander it. You understand in China, that story of the woman that was condemned for the adultery, you know that they rewrote that, the Chinese propagandists. And they're saying that Jesus picked up a stone and stoned her and murdered her. And he said, I am a sinner too. And so you need to understand that there's more Christians in China now than there are communists. Did you know that? You need to pray for your brothers and sisters because the enemy is out there and he's working through people and they do it here too. We're not absolved of any of this, you know. That's right. He is. He is. Can I remind you something I haven't reminded you of in a day? That I love you. With such depth and such richness and such dynamic in the heart that he gives, you know? Please remember that. Don't get caught up on your screens right now. Just listen, right? You hear that little fella? That's a happy soul. Be that. Pardon? Praising God. So what has God shown you today? Just one thing. What has he shown you today? Go ahead.
To not take life for granted and to not take people for granted.
Don't take life or people for granted, okay? Go ahead, real loud, please. He reminded us of his new covenant. Why do you have such a smile on your face? Okay, you keep that to you. That's between you and God. You enjoy that.
I need to stay close to Jesus.
Stay close to Jesus.
Steady and full of love.
Mm-hmm.
While being betrayed.
Yeah, boy, that's something, isn't it? That's a whole other table of grace. Thank you. Here you go. Anybody else? I want to hear from a fella. Jeremiah, Mr. 250. I like your shirt, by the way.
Thanks, bro.
You're welcome, bro.
I just think of the I Am. And,
the I Am.
He says, I am the I Am.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to the talking book, the burning bush.
Right.
He says, I am the great I Am. He says the same thing. And it's just being reminded of what he was killed for, what he was, what he claimed.
Mm-hmm.
And that he claimed that he was that.
He claimed facts.
Yeah.
You know, when Pastor Brent was playing the Glory Hallelujah, glory, glory, hallelujah. You know what that is? Glory, glory, praise Yahweh. That's what that means. Glory, glory. Hallel means to praise. Luya is Yahweh. So when you hear somebody say, hallelujah, oh, you're praising Yahweh. Thank you. Right? And I know it's been taught as of late, and I subscribe to it. I love the way the word Yahweh, we don't really have a phoneticization for it. But if you breathe in through your mouth, it's your first breath oxygen will be the first name of him. Your last breath oxygen will be the last part of his name. You breathe his name. Isn't that crazy? You just do, and you don't even realize it. You're breathing. Every single human is breathing the name of God.